Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to read verse number 5 through verse number 11. And I'll say in advance, there's no way I will do this passage justice. We're going to look at a portion where Paul is exhorting the church to think like Jesus, and he then goes on to give the church an example of Christ, which is the gospel, which is the incarnation. And there has been pages and pages of theology, Christology written just on verses 6 and 7 alone. And I'm not going to attempt to go into the depth of that, although I've read a lot about it. I'm going to stay pragmatic and surface level and just take truths and apply them to our lives. But I do encourage you, if you would like to dig deep into verse number 6 and 7 and to study out, if you would like, about Christ emptying himself and just what that means. But I want to read these verses, and we will get into it, and we're going to look at it and look at some things the Lord is telling us and apply them to our lives. Amen. So Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." All right, as we look at this, I just want to make note of verse number 5. Paul, he starts by saying, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And here we see that he is exhorting the church to have the mind of Christ. And I want to say this up front, church. It is God's will. Now, this is a high standard, and certainly I know I fall short many times. But nevertheless, it is God's will that we have the mind of Christ. That we have the mind of Christ. Part of being born again, regenerated and renewed by the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, is that we would have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, if we think like Christ, then we know that we would act like Christ. So how many of you know that when we're not acting like Christ, it must mean that we're not thinking like Christ. And it must mean that we're not submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in our lives. And so Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think like Jesus. Think like him. Think like him. If you think like him, you'll act like him. And after that, Paul, he gives you the incredible account of the incarnation of Jesus, in which we see, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What is he saying by being in the form of God? He is saying that Jesus, he's not less than God. He is equal with God. He is divine. He is God. He is God. If you look back at a few verses in Scripture about the Lord Jesus Christ, when we look at his pre-incarnation, before he came to earth, he is God. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was in the form of God. He was God. So Paul is saying, you got to remember, before Jesus ever came, He is the triune Godhead. He is God. Let's look at another verse or two together. Colossians. Just a few, real quick. Colossians chapter 1. Let's see here. Who is the image, talking about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is the image of the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. Let's look in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in the last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He hath made all the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. So Paul says, as he's telling them to think like Christ, he takes them back to the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ before He ever come to earth. He says, you got to remember. You got to remember that Jesus, He was in the form of God. He was equal with God. Jesus is God. He is God. And He starts off by reminding you of Jesus being divine, being God. He is God. But He says this, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And that is interesting when you look at that word robbery. It means to grasp treasure or to snatch and hold on to. So what is he saying? He says, even though Jesus was God, he did not hold on to that position in heaven. He did not hold on to His divinity in that state at the time. Yet, he goes on to say, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 8:9. He says, Jesus was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor. Do you understand? Even though Jesus knew He was God, He was worthy to be worshipped in every way like God is, fully perfect, in glory, in a glorious state, in heaven, in eternity. He is God. He is God. He is God. Never no pain, never no anxiety. He is absolutely all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise, self-sufficient, lacking nothing at all, perfectly satisfied. He is God. He is God. But Paul says, yet He did not grasp hold of that. He did not hold on to it. And let me say this, Jesus could have sit right there. He never had to come. He never had to come to earth and die for us. He did not have to do that. If He was like me or you, He would have grasped on to His divinity. He would have grasped His Godship, and He would have stayed right where He was if He was like me and you many times. But the Bible says, even though He was equal with God, He did not grasp or clench on to that yet. He made Himself of no reputation. For the first time, God made Himself of no reputation and took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. You see, we like to sing a song, He came from heaven to earth. Listen, He did a whole lot more than come from heaven to earth. We talk about how good God is because He left a throne in heaven to come to earth, but He did so much more than leave heaven and come to earth. What He did was quit, He let go of those divine attributes and emptied Himself and took on the form of a servant and became like a man, become like a human, become like us. He came to be a man and to serve. He come into this nasty, dirty, painful world, this dark world, and become a human being. Not only did he become a man, he become a servant. And not only did he become a servant, he become obedient to death. When you read the Gospels, rarely do you see Jesus being served. Rarely. Certainly not consistently served. He's called on by fishermen and he serves. He comes to harlots and called on by them and he serves. Tax collectors, he serves. The sick, he serves. The sorrowful, he serves. The sinner, he serves. The Father, he serves. Keep in mind, even the disciples in the upper room, he washed their feet. He serves. He becomes a servant. He did not come to be worshiped. He did not come to be treated like God or like a king. He came to serve. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ." Think like him and you will act like him. How did Jesus act? He acted like a servant in the purest form of servitude. He thought like a servant. And let me say this about being a servant. Many men serve. Many of us serve. Jesus served and many of us serve, but the difference is, and listen to this, Jesus served and he had to pay to do it. Many of us will serve if it don't cost us nothing. Did you hear that? Many of us will serve as long as it does not cost us too much. I'll serve if it don't cost me too much money. I'll serve if it don't cost me too much time. I'll serve if it don't cost too much of who I am. And yet Jesus laid aside everything, all the divinity, he laid it aside. For the first time in eternity, Jesus was not right there with the Father. He came and he served. And it cost him everything. It says he was obedient unto death. His service cost him his life. A terrible, sorrowful, gruesome, suffering death. I want to say it again. Listen to me. Some of us will pat ourselves on the back because we served a little bit. But many times we served when it didn't cost us much at all. With Jesus, it cost him everything. And the problem is, he shouldn't have paid nothing, and he never had to serve. He was too good and too worthy. Yet he came and he served. And Paul is saying this to the church, "Let this mind be in you." Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He did not hold on to his great privileges. His privilege of just peace and perfection. He did not hold on to it as if it was a treasure. Yet he let it go and he came to this rugged, rough life on earth as a man, and he became a servant. And he paid the ultimate price just to serve. I want to say it again. Listen, church. The mind of Christ, if we have the mind of Christ, it will affect our actions. And I will say this, you will be defined as a servant if the mind of Christ is in you. You cannot have the mind of Christ and not sacrificially serve. You will not have the mind of Christ and not sacrificially serve. A lot of us, we go to church to get. Many people go to church not to serve, but to receive. Not to serve, but to get. Not to serve, but to be served. We expect in the pastor, serve us something good from the pulpit Sunday. The worship choir, serve us something good. When I'm going through hard times, listen, church, serve me something good. That is not the mindset of Jesus Christ. That is not the mind of Christ. He served and he was willing to pay whatever price just to serve. I thought about this. I thought about in Isaiah. And this is so convicting to me. In Isaiah 14, let me turn. This is an account of the fall of Satan when he was an angel. You can look in Ezekiel and it gives you account when he was a glorious angel and he was before the presence of God, the throne of God. He was bedecked to radiate the glory of God. And yet, as he was there in the presence of God, Isaiah 14 gives us this account in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Look at this. For thou hast said in your heart, Satan, you said in your heart, this is why and how Satan fell. This is what he says. Because Satan said in his heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is what Satan said. Satan's language, his motives, his mentality, and his attitude was, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And yet you go to Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Jesus says, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, Father. Satan's anthem was I will, and Jesus' anthem was thy will. I want to tell you something, church. When you get the mind of Christ, your attitude and your mentality and your anthem and your motives and your motto will not be no longer, it will no longer be I will, it will be thy will be done, Father. Because that is the mind of Christ. And do you know what I believe the church needs more than anything? It's to quit looking like Lucifer and look like Jesus. Don't think like Lucifer that says, I will, but yet think like Jesus that says, thy will be done. We see this as Jesus leaves heaven to come down to the earth to take on the form of a servant and to pay everything to do it, even a terrible death on Calvary, just to be a servant to you and me and his Father. Please let this sink in for a minute, church. Let this sink in. Ask yourself, is your days defined by I will or is it defined by thy will? Do my actions look more like I will or do they look more like Father, thy will? And understand, just to the point of correction, and repentance, that if we find ourselves more operating from the mindset of I will rather than thy will, then we look more like Lucifer than we do Jesus. Satan goes to the garden and he says to Adam, Eat from this tree. Eat from it. God said, don't eat from it. He said, the only reason God don't want you to eat from it, because the day you eat of that tree, you will be like him. You will be like him. Remember what Lucifer said. He said, I will ascend above the throne of God. What Satan is saying, I want to be like God. I want the privileges of God and the praises of God and the power of God and the perfection of God. I want to be like him. I want to be adored. I want to be at the center of it all. And then he tells Adam that if you will eat, you'll be like God. Yet Jesus was like God. He was God, and yet he walked away. He did not clench that. He did not hold on to it. Yet he come down to be like us. He is our example. He is our example. Let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus. We see his mind manifest through the choices he made to leave heaven and come serve. To leave that perpetual state of divinity and Godship to take on the form of a man, to be a servant and pay the ultimate price just to serve. We see his mindset through his actions. Listen, church, we will always, our mindset will always be manifested through our actions, through our choices. What you do will always give away how you think. I don't know if you've not realized it yet. When we talk about the human nature, me and you, you and me in this world, it is clearly seen that mankind is defined, mankind's fallen sinful state is defined by a selfish, narcissistic, egomania, parsimonious, introversion, self-seeking, self-regard, self-interest, and self-love. That is who Satan was. That is what Adam became. And that is who we are originally, unless we let God change us and give us the mind of Christ. Let me remind you that the word repent, the Greek word is metanoia. It literally means to change. Somebody say change. Change your mind. Because if your mind changes, you will change. Now, God, he transforms your spirit. When you are born again, your dead spirit becomes alive, and the Holy Spirit is placed in there to abide. But what repentance is we change our thinking, change our mind. And when you change your thinking, you change your actions. Repentance is not just, God, I'm sorry. And it's not just, God, I'll change my actions, but repentance is, I will change my mind. I will change how I think so that I will change what I choose and how I will act. He says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We need to change the way we think. We need to drop our thinking and adopt and take in the thinking of Jesus Christ. And Paul would not tell you to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, if you could not have that mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. He didn't say, go get it. He didn't say, discipline yourself for it. He's saying, if you will submit to it, it'll get inside you. Thinking of Jesus will get it. Let it be. Let it be in you. Let this mind, the mind of Christ, be in you. Just let it be. Listen, church, some of us needs to let it be. To submit to it. To yield to it. To receive it. Because what God wants to do is change your mind. When your repentance and submission meets what God is trying to do in your life, he will change your mind. And your mind will be like the mind of Christ. You will think like him. And that's the only way you're going to act like him. And because of the mind of Christ, you will turn into a servant. You will turn into a servant. You will act like a servant. You will be a servant. Listen, church, I hope you understand this. Our sole purpose is not to just be blessed up. In this life is not to just sit here and be blessed. I know a lot of people preach that the Christian life is just about sitting here and letting God bless you. Just be blessed. But somewhere they've missed the majority of the scripture and what we're to do. We are to serve. We are to serve. And let me say this. You know, in Revelation, it says that even when we get to heaven, you know what we're going to do? We're going to serve Him. Look it up. I challenge you. Even in heaven, you're going to serve Him. You're going to serve Him. Being found in the fashion of man, He humbled Himself, became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly, wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you listen to what this says? That Jesus came, He served completely, 100%, He served. And then, after He had served, God highly exalted Him. After the mission was complete, after He fulfilled the service, then God highly exalted Him. Do you know what that means? Jesus didn't need to be exalted by men. He didn't need to be. His desire and what He was driven for was that the Father would exalt Him. And I say that to say this. Many of us, we grasp at glory, our own glory. We grasp to be exalted by men. So what are you saying? We want people to think we're good. We want to impress people. We want to be liked by people. We want people to watch us and look at us and listen to us and applaud us and clap their hands at us. We want to be liked by people. We want to get all their approval and their satisfaction. And that was not Christ. Christ wanted to find approval in God. He wanted to be exalted by the hand of God. If we exalt ourselves, we will be abased. But if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt us and lift us up, the Bible says. And there's so many people looking for gratification right now. And what we need to do is just serve and serve. And you may not get gratification. You may not get honored. You may not get repaid. You may not get nothing even in this life at all. But what you will get that's worth more than anything is for God to exalt you. He exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Paul is telling the church, listen, let the mind of Christ be in you and you be a servant. And when you're a servant, you may not always be applauded and honored and exalted by man, but I promise you this, one day your Father will exalt you. He will raise you up, and that's what matters the most. But you got to be willing to wait on the exaltation. I would rather have the gratification and the exaltation that my Father gives me for being obedient than for to be honored and praised and exalted by men every day of my life in this life and not receive it from my Creator. And that is what Paul is trying to impart into them. I believe he's showing you how the Father exalted him from his servitude. There's something in a little boy that wants to honor his daddy.
I believe that. I've experienced that. You want to make your daddy proud. I had a conversation with a man this week, and this man's 56-year-old, and I don't know how old his father is, probably in his 70s at least. And he said, all I want is for one, maybe two more times in my life is for my daddy to say he's proud of me. This is a 56-year-old man with kids and grandkids, and he still just wants to hear his daddy say one more time before they die, son, I'm proud of you. There should be something in you and I that longs for God to exalt us, to be glorified through us. Not only, I believe, is he saying it for that reason, but listen to this. At the time, there was something called Caesar worship in Rome. Rome demanded that all the citizens would honor and worship Caesar. That they would come and say, Kyrios Kaiser, which is Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. And if they did not say Caesar is Lord, then Christians would be persecuted even unto death. And there were Christians that would die under Nero because they did not worship Caesar, because they would not bend their knee and say Caesar is Lord. And they would die for that. They would die for that. And I believe he's encouraging them, reminding them, that Caesar is not Lord, and it don't matter what man does, but Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. And he says, and you just remember that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, because the Father has exalted Jesus. One day every knee will bow. Every knee will bow and will confess that Jesus is Lord. Not Caesar, not anybody else, but Jesus is Lord. Remember Romans 10:9, that we got to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's how you be saved. Well, I want to tell you something. You will either in this life, and you listen to me, you will either in this life believe in your heart and bow with your knee and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Or if you go in this life an unbeliever and die one day in the presence of God, he will make you bow. And you will believe in your heart and you will confess that he is Lord. And then it will be too late. So he's reminding them, now Jesus is Lord. And the last thing he says, and all this is for the glory of God. All this is for the glory of God. So let me back up and say this. It glorifies God when you have the mind of Christ. It glorifies the Father when you think like him and act like him. It glorifies him when you serve, even if you're not getting recognized and honored. Even if it costs you everything to serve, it glorifies the Father. And it also glorifies the Father when he exalts you. When you find his approval, it glorifies him. And most of all, he was glorified. Most of all, he was glorified through his Son. The one that we give our lives to, the one that we worship. So, church, I just want to end and leave you with this as we've walked through a few more verses. And like I said, I in no way did that justice. We stayed on surface level. But I feel like the core of the truth is this. Set your eyes and heart on Jesus, who he is, what he is, what he done, the gospel, what he gave up to come to you, what he sacrificed to come to you. The price he paid for you and for his Father. And through the power of God, be transformed into that, and your mind be the same. And you serve, you be Christ-like. That is the standard of the church. In church, we have got to get to that. We have to get to that. because that is the will of our Father. So I encourage you once again as we close and as I end this up, let's repent, a change of mind, let the mind of Christ be in us. We'll act like Him and we'll glorify the Father and we'll be what we were called to be. Let's pray. Father, we love You, we praise You, we thank You. God, we ask that the mind that was in Jesus, let it be in us, God. Let it be in us. Let it be in us, God. We ask for it. We submit to it. Change our thinking. Change our actions. Make us servants. Give us a heart to serve, a desire to serve. Give us a desire, God, to see You glorified. And we don't dictate what glorifies You. You dictate what glorifies You. And let us go after that, Father. And let us honor and love and profess and confess our faithfulness and our allegiance to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That the world will hear us confess Him as Lord and see us mimic and act the way He did. Father, we love You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.